Elliott Wolf to be their assistant GM. On the field, the Steelers are getting ready to host the rematch with Jacksonville. But the other storyline in Pittsburgh won't be the final game at Heinz Field for Ben Roethlisberger. He says he doesn't think so. Tonight in Pittsburgh, the Panthers will host Marvin Bagley and number 7 Duke. I'm Jeff Biggs, NBC Sports Radio.
In there, I had all this stuff about Nick Saban, people talking about why isn't he a pro football coach here? You know, maybe because you could be the greatest college coach of all time. Maybe because you were 15 and 17 in the pros. Maybe because, I got to tell you something, that treating the media with scorn, that might work in Tuscaloosa. You try doing that in any NFL market. You try doing that in Green Bay. You try doing that in New York. He won't last the season. Trust me. They will call him Ozark Ike. They will say, well, what happened in college? What happened in Alabama? That's fine, but this is New York and you don't behave this way. And besides, I mean... So Matt Patricia now, the inside track on the Giants job. That's kind of an interesting case. And yes, you heard also that we've got a circumstance of Ben Roethlisberger. Oh, I think I might be back. Sure. Yeah. Times are good now, 13-3. You know, you're seeing an avenue of, well, if I don't win the Super Bowl, I'll still have all these weapons coming back, perhaps even more than before. So, hey, I'm Marky Bilson, your voice of choice for a new generation of Tri-City sports fans. The name of the program is Tri-City Sports Now. It's on 1420 NBC Sports Radio Tri-Cities, where we own the Tri-Cities. Best guests and hardest hitting opinions in the market. And in a few minutes, I'm going to be talking to an old friend of ours, Vito Stellino, who has covered both the Steelers and the Jaguars. Who better to talk to about this weekend's NFL games? Who better than someone who covered the Steelers and the Jaguars? Used to write, also wrote Baltimore Sun, I believe, used to write the NFL beat in the Sporting News, back when the Sporting News actually was a newsprint edition. So, there we go. Anyway, Vito Stellino, just one of my favorites, talking to him last night, I just love Vito because of his great career. And he'll be giving us the insights of that key NFL game, as well as he votes on the Hall of Fame. Who's going to make the Hall of Fame? Jerry Kramer is up, Veterans Committee. This has been the number one, hey, why isn't Jerry Kramer in the Hall of Fame? You know, baseball, they ask, why isn't Gil Hodges in the Hall of Fame? Football, it's why isn't Jerry Kramer? This may be the year that he gets in. We'll find out from Vito. Let's see what he's thinking. But, speaking of Jacksonville-Pittsburgh, there is a Tri-Cities tie to that game, and it goes beyond Corey Sensabaugh. Actually, I think reveals me. I'm going to give you a little bit of a history lesson with me and my deceased friend, Bob Seifers. I try to keep things, I don't want to be, on this show in the Tri-Cities, Tennessee area. I absolutely hate rival hosts who become fanboy on the air. Now, I have been... in my youth, once even honored by the Pro Football Hall of Fame for liking the Pittsburgh Steelers. But when you're a professional, they're one of 32 teams on here. And I will, however, say that if it wasn't for moving to Pittsburgh, and folks, forgive me, I know that to a lot of the Tri-Cities audience, I'm going to sound like an outsider, and I don't mean to, because I've lived on and off in the Tri-Cities since 86, and I think if you listen to me, you know that I know the Vols history, and you're going to find out that I know a lot about local sports history in this monologue. This is Marky's monologue. But if it wasn't for moving to Pittsburgh in the City of Champions era, I wouldn't be hosting this show, because my family are not sports fans. but you moved into that environment at the time, and it was magic. And I don't know, maybe someone growing up, I don't know, Knoxville, 1998, similar fashion, but it really was something else. And anyway, what it also led me to is that when my mother, you know, after a fellowship at the University of Pittsburgh, teaching in Pennsylvania at certain schools, then moved to Johnson City with me when she became a professor at East Tennessee State, I learned 20 years ago that in the next town over, Elizabethton, there was a gentleman by the name of Bob Seifers who lived over there, wrote a newspaper article about him, and found out that he had played not only for Bob Nealon with the Old Vols, but for Jock Sutherland with the Old Steelers. And I mean really old Steelers, 1940s. And I had to meet the guy. I mean, someone like that who was living legend to me, you know, or really, you know, living football history, I had to go meet the guy. And we became friends late in his life. And this was around 1998, 1999. Later on, 1999, Steelers honored the 25th anniversary of their first Super Bowl team, Monday night game against Atlanta. I'm there. I'm watching it. Wonderful environment. You can imagine all the old greats coming back. We cheer them, da-da-da. And, you know, although I was a little too young for the 74 team, most of those guys were there when I started watching them. They're my heroes. You know, Chuck Knoll is getting huge ovations. And it's a way for a past generation to reconnect their history with a new generation, certainly. It was a wonderful environment. But because I knew Bob Seifers, I thought, wouldn't it be great if the 1947 team, first playoff team in the history of the Pittsburgh Steelers, was honored, featuring Bob Seifers from Dobbins Bennett High School here in Kingsport. And remember, Cody Sensabaugh, who we had on last week, and if you missed the interview, you can find it on our 1420 NBC Sports Radio Tri-Cities Facebook page. It's gotten 4,000 hits so far. I mean, we really want to thank you out there. A lot of people are talking about Cody Sensabaugh, the interview that we did. Certainly, I want you also to check out the interview we did yesterday with Randy Sanders, the ETSU football coach, who says the quarterback competition, despite the heroics of Austin Henrick, what with his new position, as well as the transfers and the recruits that he's bringing in, he's calling, despite the fact many thought that Henrick was the top player on the team, he's calling the quarterback competition open. And although he hasn't named it yet, look for some former members of Carl Torbush's staff to join his as well at ETSU, which would lend into having some legitimacy when Scott Carter was talking about the foundation that Carl Torbush set at ETSU, despite an 11-22 record. Anyway, let's go back to what happened here. It's a case, I go to this event, honor the 99 Steelers, I'm friends with Bob Seifers, who played in the very first Steelers playoff team, 47 Seifers, the Dobbins Bennett legend, and I'm thinking, wouldn't it be great if they, you know, honored the 47 team? Wouldn't it be great if they reconnected with this forgotten part of their history? So I write Dan Rooney, the owner of the Steelers, a legend. He is a legend, but I write him a letter. I write him a letter and saying, you know, I was there for the event honoring the 25th anniversary of the first Super Bowl team. Wouldn't it be great, I'm friends with Bob Seifers, to give the first playoff team of the Steelers a day in the sun? He writes back, he writes Bob Seifers to my address, actually, says, that's a great idea. We've got to do this. And 2 years later, November 18th, 2001, the surviving members of that 47 Steelers team, first ever playoff teams, yeah, they were honored. Thanks to my letter, folks, at halftime of that Pittsburgh Steelers game. I even wrote the story, the feature story on the 47 Steelers for the game program that day, November 18th, 2001. You can find a program on eBay from that game, Steelers-Jacksonville, go find it, November 18th, 2001. And, you know, they were honoring the former team, the first playoff team, first year at Heinz Field. You know, here's our new stadium. This is what you helped build here in years gone by. Unfortunately, Bob didn't make it. He died that summer. Sadly. But yeah, the opponent that day was Jacksonville. So say what you will, but that's the first game at Heinz Field between those two old time, I say old time, but there was quite a rivalry in the 90s. And it'll be quite a rivalry again this week on Sunday. And there is one Dobbins Bennett player who is going to play in this game. And there was one Dobbins Bennett player who inspired the event, the halftime event, and the honoring and the remembrance of the first playoff team the Steelers ever had at the first Jacksonville-Pittsburgh game at Heinz Field. Now, by the way, if you're wondering, Bob, he passed away 2001, as I said. He was 80 years old. He was in mental faculties were great, physical faculties. I mean, for an 80-year-old man who played, you know, the smash mouth era of pro football, leather helmets, that sort of thing. I guess leather helmets in high school. I'm trying to think. Plastic helmets first started being used in 1940 in college football. I don't know off the top of my head when Tennessee started wearing them. But I would just point out that, you know, that was a rough and ready single wing day era. But I did want to point out that from that high school, he'll be playing in this game. Now, if you don't know Bob Seifers, let me tell you about him. 1938, Dobbins Bennett Indians. This is one of the great, you know, eras of their sports history. And remember, Dobbins Bennett is the all-time leader in baseball victories in high school, second all-time in basketball. They were the all-time leader in Tennessee high school football victories. I believe, by some sources, Maryville has passed them. It's neck and neck this past year. I think Maryville may have passed them. But even so, Dobbins Bennett's in the top, I think 35 all-time high school victories nationwide. Okay. And the other thing that Seifers did, there's an old legend, and it's absolutely true. If you look at the basketball record of Dobbins Bennett, there's one tie, and you say, how can there be a tie in a basketball game? I'll tell you why. 1939, Gate City's playing Dobbins Bennett, scoreless tie. What happened is, well, lack of a better term, some hillbillies came down to the hills. This is East Tennessee 1939, folks, okay? Brought shotguns to the game, and both teams just held on to the ball. They were afraid to score. Halftime comes around, Bob Seifers, I mean, he's the star, everybody, you know, he's getting national attention at Dobbins Bennett High School for leading the nation in scoring, and he basically gives the ball to the referees and says, look at these people, I'm out of here. Referees agree, they end the game at halftime, it goes down as a 0-0 tie. So when you look at that's the thing, and Seifers was the guy who basically said, no, this is not going to get played, we're not going to get shot. Thank you. Goodbye. That's the legend. That's how he told it to me. I have no way of, I have no reason to doubt him. Anyway, after a stint at Tennessee playing for Neyland, stint in the military, World War II, Seifers went to the NFL, originally played for the Lions. Last game of the 1946 season, had four punts, averaging almost 62 yards. That's the NFL single-game punting average record still to this day. Gets traded to the Steelers in 47 for Bill Dudley, the Hall of Famer. But in the Sutherland single wing, Seifers, his blocking upon being inserted into the lineup, propels the Steelers to six straight victories. It's their longest winning streak for 28 years, until 1975. It also is blocking allowed Johnny Clement to become the franchise's first 1,000-yard total gainer. In other words, total yards, 1,000. He was the first guy to do it. Steelers tied the Eagles that season for the Eastern Division lead, 8-4. There were no tiebreakers that day, or that era. So they decided, let's play a playoff game, you know, a play-in game to see who would play in the championship game. And it was the first postseason game either franchises that dated back to the 1930s, so about a decade and a half. Neither team had ever done anything, really, until this year. And even the two teams were the same team. They were the Steagles in 1943. They had merged because of the war in a very famous historic football event. But you see, because this was kind of new, you know, instead of the first place teams playing each other, two teams tied for first place playing each other to go to the championship game. In essence, it's like the first wild card game. There were no assurances of the players getting paid for that game. And so Seifers and a lot of players boycotted the game. Seifers went back to Kingsport week of the game, called him up. No, we'll get you a game salary. He always told us all we got was a game salary for the game. okay, I'm coming back. You know, it's a chance for an NFL championship after all. But, you know, there's a lot of turmoil going on. So the Steelers lose to the Eagles in that game 21-0. Seifert's actually, the final touchdown is scored by a guy named Bosh Prichard, which is a historic football name. And he returns a punt 79 yards for the final touchdown of the game, 21-0 for the Eagles. Seifert's outkicks his coverage. You know, he had quite the strong leg. But it would be the only playoff appearance for the Steelers 39 years, save for appearance in something called the Playoff Bowl in 62, which is a consolation game to decide third place in the NFL in that era. You know, Chuck Knoll, the Steelers in the 70s, and since then, they've always been winners. They've been the most successful franchise since the merger, most playoff appearances, most Super Bowl victories, this sort of thing. But for the first 40 years, they weren't much. And for the first 40 years, what they had was 1947. That season, which was really the first time the Steelers ever were popular, because of people like King Sports Bob Seifert, that, you know, was the one thing that people held on to, perhaps for a save for a couple of decent years in the 60s, but for years and years, it's the only real playoff appearance they ever had. And it was remembered basically because of my friendship with Bob Seifert. A letter that was written and, you know, all that. So that was the first time the Steelers ever played the Jaguars at Heinz Field. Just remember that. Remember that link to Kingsport, to the area, to Bob Seifert when the Steelers play the Jaguars this Sunday. I'm Marky Bilson. I'm going to talk to Vito Stellino. No, he didn't cover that 47 team. He did cover the NFL back in the 70s and has ever since. VitoStellino.com. He votes on the Hall of Fame. He's coming up next on Tri-City Sports Now.